Blog Talk Radio.
Everywhere you turn in this society, people will people are definitely under stress. Unchecked stress will interfere with your health, your job, and your family. And stress contributes to unnecessary deaths everywhere. Now, here's the book that's going to detail 15 ways to reduce the stress in your life, written by Snowden McFall. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. I'm so glad that you're listening to this program, whether it's a beautiful, sunshiny day here in the Boston area in August, or whether you have downloaded this show many months later. I know that you're going to get a lot out of this, and we want to get right to it. But I want to encourage you to go to my website for two reasons. We have very interesting blog postings that are put up every two or three days, information that you can use and study and use for your own research purposes. Earlier this week, Garth Dallas, who is a colleague in Liverpool, England, wrote two exceptionally really strong pieces about what has taken place in Britain. This is what he is seeing from an insider's perspective, not part of the mainstream media, not part of the government, but really talking about what the real issues are in England, all over England, that are largely being unnoticed and not being discussed. You can read that two-part section in my blog's section of my website at www.tellcarol.com. That's TellCarole. Also, on the home page of my website, there's always a new poll. Every week, there's going to be a new poll, and we'd love for you to participate. You don't have to leave your name. You can leave a comment if you'd like, but only your vote is recorded and not your email address or other contact information. So this is a way where you can let your voices be heard. And so I would encourage you to go to tellcarol.com, read the blog postings. Also read, participate with the poll that is up every week, and explore the other aspects of the website. There are video clips there. There are lots of really great information at your disposal. And soon we're going to give you the formal announcement of the debut of my other website that deals specifically with multicultural issues, and that's tied in with the October 27th conference that's taking place, the Multicultural Conference, the fifth one that we have done as part of the Multicultural Symposium series that will take place at the University of Massachusetts Boston campus. I'm really excited about it, all of those who are going to be participating, and the number of sponsors, and we are always looking for new sponsors who will be a part of that very exciting event. So again, all that information will be at the website. We'll give you the URL for the second website probably in the next 2 weeks. But in the meantime, www.tellcarol.com is the website we'd love for you to go to and explore, leave comments. Definitely would love to have your thoughts part of the comment section of the blog, and then the other different pages of the website. Leave suggestions, send me an email. Definitely always looking for ways to work with you, either as a speaker, as a consultant, or just to share some thoughts with you. So that's we'd love for you to go there, and particularly those two blogs that were run earlier this week by Garth Dallas. We'd love for you to read that at tellcarol.com. Well, I don't know about you, but this world that we're living in is really hectic. And if you live on the East Coast of the United States, you are always under the gun. People are under budget. They don't have enough time, or they have been given more responsibilities on their jobs, and they have families to raise. And, oh, my goodness, we are always under stress. Is it like that for you in your neck of the woods? That's the question for you. And the person who's going to answer this question, who's done an awful lot of really valuable research with her new book, Stress Express, 15 Instant Stress Relievers, we are very glad to bring on my show, very dear friend of mine of many years, Snowden McFall. Welcome to the show, Snowden.
Thank you, Carol. Delighted to be here.
Why stress? Now, you come out of the advertising industry, and then you transitioned into speaking. You've been a speaker and a consultant for many, many years. We worked together when you were up here in the New England area before moving to Florida. So why the transition to stress management?
Well, actually, I've been researching stress and speaking on stress for a long time, for over 15 years. And what I kept seeing with my clients is they kept saying, you know, as I was doing all this research and telling them, they said, I need a book. I need tools you can leave behind that we can use, because it's great to see you and have you come in and speak or do a training, but I need some tools I can keep with me on my desk all the time. And as you know, Carol, stressed people don't have a lot of time. So I specifically wrote the book to have very short chapters and very practical tips. But I really saw a need in the marketplace. I mean, American Psychological Association says stress costs industry $300 billion a year in this country, and its numbers are very similar around the world. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about one-third of all Americans living with extreme stress. 78% of Americans say that they're burnt out, not just stressed. So that's a huge statistic, and it's having a huge impact in the workplace, costing, you know, 275 million workdays a year are lost to stress, according to Fast Company. So it's a big, big issue, and I wanted to find solutions. And some of them, as you saw when you read the book, are unusual. So
we want to take you through some of those unusual ones, and then ones that, you know, people talk about. I guess the first one I want to talk about, because you have this whole section in here about sleep, sleep patterns, and napping. What I have found, and I do this pretty regularly, especially when I've had a really long day, there's nothing like taking a power nap for me. I like to just sleep for maybe 10 or 15 minutes right at my desk, right where I am, certainly not in the car, but if I'm working at my desk, I can just take a power nap and I feel so much better afterward. Why are nap patterns, or why is a nap a great way to relieve stress, Snowden?
Well, because it really does have a big impact on your body. I mean, most Americans do not get enough sleep. The World Health Organization says that if you get less than 7 hours of sleep, it's a carcinogen, a cancer-causing agent. Hmm. And because people's schedules are so hectic, a nap is a great way to catch that extra sleep. Zappos has a sleep room and nap room, and most railways these days have nap rooms, and a lot of, you know, progressive businesses are finding having a nap is great. You want the nap to be, your timing is perfect. You want the nap to be less than an hour. 20 minutes is a great power nap. That's a stage two sleep. Very light, very easy to wake from. 20 to 60 is slow wave sleep, which is very restorative. And it restores muscle growth and tissue growth and things like that. So it helps you get a lot of clarity. I'm a big nap taker. I love taking naps. And, you know, it's so funny. When you're little kids, you hate taking them. But when you're grown up, they're a big thing. But, you know, the other thing is, for most people who get less than 7 hours of sleep, you are three times more likely to get a cold or a flu. And you're also much more likely to carry 20 pounds of extra weight. So there's a lot of health implications of not sleeping.
Interesting. Now, you know, I have seen in traveling, not all airports have this, but I know some airports do, are beginning to have these little rooms where you can just go in and then think you pay a certain amount of money and you can have the room for about a half an hour or so, and they're actually nap rooms. Are you finding that in your travels?
Yes, I have. I've seen a couple of them. I haven't actually used one yet. Have you used them yet, Carol?
I haven't. No, I've been passing by, and they're quite curious. I've sort of peeked in. They're small. You can just get.
Yeah, they are. They're good. I'm afraid I'm a little claustrophobic, so I'm not sure if it's going to work for me. But I think the concept is awesome. I mean, I remember being so tired. You know, in our industry, we're always flying back and forth. And I remember being so tired one time when I was in an airport that I sat there and I propped my head on my purse, and I actually just fell asleep with my head on my purse in the chair while I was waiting for my flight. So, you know, we all have that need. But, you know, it's also really dangerous on the roads. When you see truckers weaving, it's not because they're drunk, it's because they're sleep deprived.
Exactly.
A lot of accidents, 100,000 automobile crashes a year are caused by drowsy driving. So
and, you know,
it's a scary thing.
I just came back from Detroit, having taken the whole family there and back, and we were on Interstate 80, which is a long stretch in Pennsylvania, very, very hilly, lots of trucks, a lot of aggressive truck drivers, but then there are those who were clearly tired, because many of the truck drivers have these real, they have pressure cooker jobs sometimes. They have to be from point A to point B with their load, and so sometimes they miss that nap that they need to have, or that rest that they have, that they need to have.
That's right. I had to laugh because we were doing one of our favorite stress relievers recently. We went to the beach, and I was so surprised because we drove into the beach parking lot, and there was a trucker, an 18-wheeler, that had just camped out there. And I was like, well, that's an interesting way to do it. So whatever works, I guess, right?
That's so true. go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say one other thing is that entrepreneurs, I don't know how many of your people listening are entrepreneurs, but 13% of entrepreneurs have trouble getting to sleep every single night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a major problem for entrepreneurs. And what that means is you've got to get ready for bed an hour before you actually want to fall asleep. No computers, no cell phones, no TV for an hour before you go to sleep, because your eye is sensitized to that white screen and it actually affects your ability to fall asleep. You shouldn't have a TV in your bedroom, and it should be quiet. Your bedroom should be for two things, sleeping and making love, and that's it. And it should not. I read a startling statistic that said 45% of young people actually check their Facebook and Twitter after they get under the covers. That is not a good idea.
Oh, young people and older people do that too.
Well, and it's dangerous. It's just not a good thing. It's bad for your sleep capabilities. It gets you all wound up and your mind going when you need to calm down and get quiet. So,
What about those of us like me? I'm guilty of this. I leave the television on while I'm asleep.
Yeah, not a good idea for so many reasons. I mean, one of the reasons is that there's a lot of awful stuff on TV. You know, they, even in your favorite shows, they throw in those news blips about, you know, such and such murder at 11 and something horrible. All that stuff gets into your subconscious while you're sleeping. So if you hear that while you're sleeping, unless you can turn it on to the cooking channel or something like that, Carol, that's what I'd recommend if you have to have the TV on.
Well, you know,
I'm a big
news junkie, so I typically watch the cable news programs, CNN, MSNBC.
Turn that off when you go to sleep. Yeah, that's going to haunt your dreams. That's going to haunt your sleep state. Turn it off when you go to sleep. Put on something soothing. If you have to have TV on while you're asleep, put on something soothing, something that's
With cable, they certainly have a lot of these music programs that you can watch.
I turn
that on sometimes, and that's quite nice. So that's let me put that on my checklist, definitely.
Yeah, I listen to the Smooth Jazz channel, but we turn off everything when we go to sleep. So
Now you also talk in your book about pets. Tell us why pets are important. I know that you have cats and you love your cats. I know that in some nursing homes now, they have pets and animals that they allow to come in, along with babies and children as a soother. So I know that there is a lot of value between babies and children and pets, but let's talk specifically about pets. How can they be stress relievers?
Well, pets are amazing. You know, there are so many great stories about pets who, and there's a couple in my book about pets who actually save the lives of their owners, and they do that. You know, they're incredibly healing. They help us lower our blood pressure. They help us be more social, more fit. If you've got a dog, you have to go outside and walk it for the most part. And people who own a cat, after studying subjects for 10 years, cat owners were 40% less likely to die from heart attacks. So it lowers your blood pressure. It really calms you down. And, you know, pets are unconditionally loving. And so that's also a major stress reliever, just to have somebody accept you exactly the way you are, not expect anything from you other than love, water, and food, and a place to go to the bathroom. I mean, those are pretty low expectations. So, but, you know, our pets can be such such a healing agent, and they're really powerful. So.
And how is your cat doing? I understand your cat had some health issues. How is your...
Yeah, I just got back from the vet, as a matter of fact. I have two, thank you. But Trinity, my oldest, is she's been dealing with some stomach stuff, and she takes on my stress, so I have to be very careful about that. And she's doing better, thank you. But she's had some stomach gastrointestinal stuff because she just gets a little worried when mommy's stressed. So I have to make sure that she calms down and sits there with me when I'm meditating. So
right. Speaking of meditating, talk to us about the importance of some kind of faith belief system in your life as a stress reliever. I know that you are a woman of faith. Talk to us about the importance of that.
Well, you know, I think that for most people, today's world is one in which so many things create worry and anxiety. I mean, right now it's the economy. And so having a place inside of ourselves that is much greater than everything outside in the world to go to is very powerful. And I say inside of ourselves because my personal belief is that God lives inside every single living being. And so whatever your faith is and your form of faith, being able to connect with that is a very powerful stress reliever. For me, it's prayer and meditation, and there's just tons and tons and tons of research about how powerful prayer and meditation are and how they lower blood pressure and they improve your immune system and decrease insomnia and help reverse heart disease. You know that there's been a bunch of studies, including famous ones from Duke, that show that people who are prayed for actually recover faster and do better. So, you know, I think that for most human beings, faith is a really powerful tool to tap into when you're under stress and a place to go. And I know for me, when I, you know, experience sadness about things, you know, we had that whole Casey Anthony horrible murder trial down here.
Right.
That was so disturbing to me. And finally, just one day when I was meditating, I just said, okay, God, I'm giving this to you because I just, it's too upsetting to me. You will deal with whatever has to happen and you will handle it. I'm giving it all to you. So turning your problems over to God, I think, is a very powerful thing to do.
So true. I know people who have been healed by the power of prayer. We call it the power of prayer, and it certainly, when you look at stress and health issues being intertwined with various people and their own life situations, having some kind of belief system certainly can be very, very beneficial. You also mentioned in your book about dancing. You say dancing will cut your stress. And also music. I love to dance, and I think that is a great stress reliever. And I noticed that there are certain ethnic groups where they will make sure that they include some kind of cultural dance at the conclusion or throughout their meeting, so that in the evening, I know that one African group that I was a part of, every evening they had a dance that went on until 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, and everybody was up dancing. And they're the National Black MBA Association, they typically have an element of dance involved. So it's done to get people together, obviously, but it also is a great stress reliever.
It is, and it's also, it helps prevent Alzheimer's. My husband and I do ballroom dancing. You know, we're old disco dancers, and there's not too many places to do that anymore, but you can do it as part of ballroom dancing, and we've been ballroom dancing for over a decade, and dancing, you know, particularly if you're learning new dances, helps you boost your memory skills and it strengthens your memory. It helps you reduce your risk for developing Alzheimer's by 76%. You're also socializing with new people, and you're having fun, and you're obviously moving your body. But anything physical you can do, obviously exercise is a very major stress reliever, and people need to find ways that they can exercise that they consider fun. Spencer and I dance. We also tandem bicycle. We've had a tandem bicycle since we got married. We just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary, and so we've been riding that bicycle for 20 years. And then I do yoga. So, you know, you find whatever form of exercise works for you, but exercise is such a significant part of relieving stress, and find a way that works for you. Find something that's fun for you and that is effective, because 60% of all Americans don't get enough exercise. to strengthen their own immune system. So it's a, you know, and the obesity problems that we have in this country are directly related to that, lack of exercise.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Tandem bike, 20-year marriage, that sounds good. It does. You mentioned your instant stress reliever number 10 says spend time with friends. It prevents loneliness and increases longevity. And then your first sentence, first paragraph, you say make time for friends a priority. Several years ago, Ladies Home Journal reported many women were lonely. In 2007, more than 27 million Americans live completely alone. 20% of people feel cut off from others, that loneliness is a major source of unhappiness. Talk to us about that.
It is. You know, I think that one of the sad things about our technology is that you can do almost anything from your computer at home. And I say sad because that means you don't have to leave the house to go interact with human beings. And there is great value in interacting with people, particularly people you are close to. When you spend time with friends, you release oxytocin, which helps you feel better. It's a euphoric kind of feeling inside of your brain, and it also cuts your risk of death, soon early death. Being with friends is so powerful, and when you socialize regularly, you are much healthier. Your stress levels go down. Just having somebody listen to you and having a meaningful conversation, I was reading a study the other day that said, surface conversations don't do it. You have to have a meaningful conversation about what's going on in your life and something of meaning, and that directly contributes to your happiness. You know, a lot of people are very unhappy, and yet there are many active things we can do. That's my next body of work. I moved from stress to happiness and have done a lot of work on that since January. And the amazing thing is you can change your happiness state very easily with specific steps and tools and increase your own happiness. So, you know, the World Health Organization says by the year 2020, the number two cause of illness in the world will be depression, that will be second only to heart attacks. So,
and let me tell you how that's a powerful statement that you've just made.
Yeah.
I am increasingly aware of the number of people who are depressed, and depression and stress, all of that is in the same mental field. My daughter's a clinical psychologist. And we just experienced with our church a wonderful, wonderful young woman who moved to live closer to her children. She's my age. So, I mean, she's our age. She's in her 50s. She has adult children, grandchildren. We thought everything was just fine. She smiled all the time. She then was experiencing depression, was under doctor's care, had the family there, and sadly, in July, committed suicide. So our church now is having discussions with clinical psychologists who are part of our congregation just about the connection of depression, stress that people are under, and suicide, because it is a problem. It's a concern.
Oh, it's real. Oh, yeah. It's a very serious problem. And I personally am not a fan of the, you know, we'll take a pill and get better. Because certainly there are people who have a chemical imbalance, but my personal opinion is that we are a drug-happy culture and popping pharmaceuticals. We take far more drugs than other parts of the world because we have pharmaceutical ads on TV. And there are specific steps you can take and that people have taken and have increased their happiness and lifted themselves out of depression, and they're not that hard. I mean, one of them is finding something to look forward to. They found that people who were just told, right now, Carol, I want you to think about watching your favorite movie. What's your favorite movie? You have a favorite movie?
Good question. The Sound of Music.
Well, that's a good one.
Music. I've watched that many times, yes.
That's a great one. So if you're just thinking about it right now, you have raised your endorphins by 26% just by thinking about it. So just finding something good to look forward to in your life is a way to lift your happiness levels. And there's a whole bunch. I have a 5-CD audio set and workbook on it. But there's a ton of different things you can do to elevate your happiness. One of them is cultivating optimism. You know, I wrote about that in the stress book. Having an optimistic perspective is so, so important. Optimists live 7 years longer than pessimists. National Institute of Health studied 100,000 women and found that pessimistic women had a 23% higher risk of dying from cancer than optimistic women.
Mm-hmm.
In business, Dr. Martin Sullivan studied 350,000 executives and found that the top 10% performers were all optimists. I mean, I can go on and on and on. The stories of optimism.
It's a big issue, and it's one that we need to pay more attention to because, a lot of people are under stress, as we all know. Stress can be related to mental struggles that people have, including depression. And, you know, the question is, you know, what's going to be the right prescription for each one of us as we go through various stages in our lives, incidences that take place? There's some things we are not going to be able to control versus other things that we can control, and being able to manage all that. You mentioned, and I want to give out your website and talk more about you before we end the show, but you mentioned some of the more unusual techniques and tips that you have in the book. Can you share one with us?
Sure. Yes, and my website is firedupnow.com, firedup, F-I-R-E-D-U-P, now.com. And the book itself, the stress book, is at stressexpressbook.com, stressexpressbook.com. Well, here's an unusual one, Carol, the scent of lemon in the workplace. If you put a lemon-scented candle in your workplace, you can cut your keyboard errors on your computer by 50%.
Whoa, I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Just cut your keyboard errors by 50% by having the scent of lemon. And you've got, I know, two adorable grandchildren. If they ever get whiny, put a little vanilla oil on their wrist, and that will calm them right down.
Oh, I like that. Now, that's all about fragrance. You have a wonderful section in here about fragrance, and I am going to begin to study fragrances more, particularly aromatherapy, because I think you're right. It definitely can be a mood changer. It can help us, but I didn't realize about the lemon. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, isn't it? It was really funny. There's also one about pistachios nuts. If you're not allergic to nuts, pistachios in the afternoon are particularly good at elevating energy. And I was doing a program for Vistacon down here, which manufactures a division of J&J. They manufacture contact lenses. And the vice president who was in the room after my talk said, okay, I want lemon and I want pistachios in here tomorrow. So, so it's pretty interesting. I mean, just simple little things you can do. We all know that chocolate is a stress reliever, and it does actually make a difference for you. Tea is excellent. Hot tea is incredible what it does for you. Drinking tea can reduce the chance of developing type 2 diabetes by 1/5, and one cup of tea can significantly reduce anxiety levels after you've had an upsetting experience, according to a University of London study. So,
green tea is also, you mentioned that in the same section, green tea is very popular now, and you see a lot of beverages now that include green tea, and we hear a lot about green tea, so I see that that is also included in your book. Super. So
right. Well, and I'll tell you something else about regular tea, and that is you don't want to put lemon in it because it increases the amount of aluminum exposure you have in black tea. So don't put lemon in your tea. It's not a good idea.
Well, here we have it. Great tips. Again, it's packed with lots of really good information. We've been talking to Snowden McFall, and her new book is Stress Express, 15 Instant Stress Relievers. For work, for home, for the community, and I think you should just go to the website. I'm sure you can probably get it where at Amazon. You can order the book. Tell us where people can get a copy of this wonderful book.
Well, thank you. The best place, actually, is my website because they'll get a bunch of free things with it if they do that. And I also have a free audio and all different things. It's stressexpressbook.com, stressexpressbook.com. And that's where they can get it, and there's a bunch of different packages that they can get with it, and there's audios and all sorts of free things. So stressexpressbook.com.
Great. Snowden McFall, thank you so much for being a guest on my program. I feel better already just talking to you.
My pleasure, Carol. It's great to be with you.
Super. I would encourage everyone to think about this, because stress is going to be in our life. It's part of our lives. There's some things we can control. There are other things we cannot control, but if you can manage it, that's the most important thing. And this book is a way to manage your stress level. It will help you on the job, at home, community activities, et cetera. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. We will be back with you next week with another powerful version of Focus on Empowerment. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Have a great week or weekend. We'll see you next week.